Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, creepies, and welcome to episode 143. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on?
High energy, baby.
High energy.
Yeah, you said you're going to bring it.
I'm bringing it.
You brought it right out the
gate.
It's
been brought in. Nate, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
Good.
Yeah.
Sean, you doing all right?
I'm good.
Good.
Todd? Excellent.
Todd?
I'll say it like
you
know, Todd.
No, don't worry about me.
How are you doing, Todd?
I'm not good. I'm great.
There goes the energy out the window.
I'm exhausted. That's all I could do. I didn't tell you how long I was bringing the energy. I just bring
like
it for the intro.
Seconds, minutes, hours.
It's like a bottle rocket.
I'm giving you
milliseconds.
I'm giving you 9 seconds of the best energy I got. No, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. We are back in the original studio. Well, no, not the original.
Well,
the
close to OG.
Right, the second studio. Nate's mm-hmm. downstairs. Yeah, that was until we had been up there what, 3 or 4 months? I don't know, August, September.
September, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Been that long? We were almost getting comfortable.
Yeah, because Sean, he's like, "Oh, we're downstairs again." I'm like, "Ah, okay, it's been a while."
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, been a minute. Look, it looks the same.
It has not back changed to where it was. Much. No.
All right,
and we're plugged into the computer tonight, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And carpets are clean. That's the only big change.
Oh, I thought so. I thought I could tell. Mm-hmm. I really can't. But they look great now. Because right? I wasn't really paying attention.
Can barely see them with all the stuff in here. But
carpet cleaning, floor cleaning is always a good thing. So as we are recording, it's going to be December 1st on Friday.
Isn't that wild?
That is
wild. Hard to believe.
Quick.
I know. Amy and I were talking tonight. She's like, I'd said something about, you know, something about a date, you know, whatever, the time. And she's like, isn't this something how fast stuff is, like, Christmas is coming and how fast time goes? I said, where you been? I said, it's been like that for years. I said, I'm always thinking that. She's like, well, I know, but it's just, it's you know, you get done with one holiday, then it's like, boom, the next one. And, or the kids, yeah, they're 8 and now they're 13 or whatever.
It's so. Like we're all racing to the cemetery, right? That's a doubter right there, isn't it?
Sean, we were doing so well, Nate.
Dust
and Sean has
in the
to,
wind.
It seems.
Did I just do that?
It seems like this year's faster than normal.
Though. I agree. I think so. Yeah. I mean, they're always fast, but this year, I think you're right, Nate.
I think it's that wormhole we all went through.
I know.
It's probably.
Well, like Elijah is going to be 13. On the 7th of December. So
another teenager.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Even though he's been a teenager for about 3-4 years. Olivia's been like 27. So, yeah. No, but technically, we will have 2 teenagers. So
William's birthday is the 14th. He'll be 12. So
nice. Of December.
A step
nice.
Closer to another teenager. But two is enough in a household right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I was say, you've got two down, two to go, right?
That's right.
Almost three, yeah. When is Ella going to be? She's 9.
She's 9.
Yeah,
yeah
okay, so
it's going to be
around
the corner. Yeah.
While we're talking, you're like, oh, remember we were saying that she's going to be, you know, she's only 9. Now she's 17.
Here she is, yeah.
Yeah, so no, it's all good. It's all good stuff. Elijah has his first basketball practice tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He missed 2 weeks because he had that oral surgery. And then, of course, then we had Thanksgiving. So, because he practices on Thursday. When does William practice? What nights?
Let's see, Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay.
Wednesday nights, yeah.
So he's looking forward to it. And then first game Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So that is exciting. Start it up again. Let's go. Because then once that starts, it's like, okay, basketball. And then boom, it's March. Because mm-hmm. Every weekend we got something. Yeah. So that's how it goes. Yeah,
everybody's playing basketball except for Claire. So we've got basketball. And that's why I have to stop and think who's got what, when.
Ella plays basketball?
I know. Ella plays. She's playing. There's a girls league for rec. You know, because for the longest time it was co-ed.
Yeah.
But they got enough girls to.
Good. Okay, I thought I heard that.
So they've been doing it at the different elementary schools. She's only been playing at Clark's Creek. So
good. That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harrison, is he playing?
He's playing Rec as well. Yeah. And it's the big boys. So,
oh, yeah.
There's going to be some slaughtering, I think, going on. No. But they're all friends. So,
yeah, it's all good. Yeah. Like I said, he'll have his basketball season, and then he's going to be on his travel soccer. Mm-hmm. That'll start in February, like practicing.
Yeah.
And in March. So that's how it goes. It's all good stuff. And yeah, we're here in the old studio. So
we're back.
I know. Dun-dun-dun. Hey, you know what time it is?
Oh, I can only guess.
It's my favorite time of the
bedtime.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
That's all. That's actually good too. I love bedtime. No, it's the Todd's dad joke of the show.
Nice.
So, as we all know, you know, Nate's favorite is Bigfoot. You know, he's a Bigfoot guy. And maybe he knows this, but you know, if Bigfoot was, you know, like a smart mouth, kind of a know-it-all, you know, a little bit obnoxious, you know what we call him, Nate?
No idea.
Sean?
I'd call him Tim. Some call me Tim.
No, he'd be called Sasquatch.
Oh, I would never have thought of that.
Not Sasquatch. Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
How about that?
Little sass in it.
Little Sasquatch.
For your listening pleasure.
That's it. That's the dad joke. That's the best I got.
That's actually, you know what? And then, okay, so is this your ornament?
Yeah.
Where did you get this?
Yeah, don't Todd steal it. I got it.
I might steal it. Oh, you got that for him.
When did I miss from it? Florida.
Oh, goodness.
Weirdo. And I got Sasquatch surfing. Too.
I don't. Oh, well, this.
Huh? What is that?
That's
no. That's 2 years ago.
I was gonna say this is all.
That was in Tybee, that's either Tybee or no. I did get you something. Heck, maybe it's a home because it took me. Really, you don't have anything from?
I don't think so.
I did get you something, so it might be on that table.
This just got awkward. Well, that's what I was like.
Oh no.
I thought maybe
that actually. Okay. That was
for his birthday.
Yeah, because I had given you your birthday.
Yeah, this is the bottle that I got. Right, the Dracula.
And then when we were in Florida, I that's his birthday.
Okay,
this was for just Florida, and then I swear I got you something from vacation too.
What confused me was the move, and I was like, maybe I missed some. Like I thought I knew every piece of paraphernalia we have. Heck, I don't remember this either. What was it? This little ghost.
Hey, he got you the ghost, and he got me Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Where is my brain tonight? Well, I'm not going to have one of those nights, am I?
Sasquatch.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Right?
Sassy.
I'm Sasquatch.
Oh, let's move on. That was the dad.
Mixed up quatch.
Yeah, that's the dad joke of the show.
That's right.
Moving on. First announcement, Sean.
Are you sure you trust me with these tonight?
I'm not sure.
Cautiously
do
excited.
Do your best.
Okay, I will.
It's all we can
always,
do.
Right?
It's all we can do, right?
I have the first part of the announcements. Right. And as we say every time, we come here for the guy time, the fun, the creepy, the paranormal. But the most important thing, and we will have this every single time we get together, we are here to build an emotional support, mental health community. And so we want you to call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact Stop Bullying for help. I'm sorry.
Easy.
StopBullying.gov for help. I left out the gov, right? Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about. And it was going so smooth.
So smooth.
Smooth.
Governor.
Music. Governor.
Thank you, Sean, for that. Mm-hmm. We definitely want our creepies to be healthy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And do what you need to do to take care of yourselves out there, especially this time of year.
You know, sometimes you just need a frying pan. Hit them really hard with it. Yeah.
That's or
bad.
Yourself.
Not bad advice.
There was a clip of John Cleese, and it says when you just need a moment to get away from the insanity, and you hear, he's like, it's not even Fawlty Towers is what it looked like it would be from, but it's not. But he's all dressed up, and he looks very professional, and he goes over into the bathroom, and he just slams his head as hard as he can into the wall. And then you see somebody downstairs listen to the slamming, and you hear him multiple times, like, smashing his head, and then it pans back to him, and he's, like, fixing his hair, and he walks out. You know, but it's just like, I can't do this anymore. It's like it's classic John Cleese.
Speaking of frying pans, there's a video I saw. And it says there's two types of women, and they're in the pan aisle in the store.
Oh,
and the
yes!
one sitting there like, acting like she's sautéing.
And she's like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the other one, like the other one's cook, grabbing right? it and like swinging it like a bat.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I saw that a couple of weeks ago because I wasn't sure what, yeah.
Like what it would be like to swing it at somebody. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's about funny. Right. That is a good one. There's some clever videos out there. Yeah.
When you told the, you said that I handled that smoothly, it makes me think of when we were kids, we used to say if somebody did something stupid, you know, and not smoothly, it was like smooth move, X-Lax. Remember, did you guys ever say mm-hmm. that? Oh, yeah. That reminds me of that.
You're aging us.
So right? A buddy of mine, he's actually a paranormal investigator. He, when we were little, he'd always say that, like if somebody did something goofy or even himself, he'd go, nice move, X-Lax. What do you do for an encore? That's what he'd always say. That takes me back to like age 10 or 11. Yeah, funny. So anyway, please, especially at this time of year, take care of yourselves and look out for another or each other and check on your loved ones and friends. So, you know, and don't remove yourselves from your friends and family.
Please don't.
There's a lot of people that love you out there. So
sometimes you just have to ask.
I know. That is true.
Ask if they are okay.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Shout outs. Sean, do you have any shout outs?
I'm going to be a no this week. Big Killjoy.
Man, you have
Joy Kill.
Oh, no, you had one. I think you had one last week.
I normally do. Hmm.
Yeah. You went a couple weeks without it, though.
I have. I know. Like a little dry spell.
Nate?
I do have one.
Oh! Make room for Nate.
Whoa. Watch out. Hold on. I'm glad I'm sitting down.
Put the brakes on.
I'm sitting down.
I'd like to give a shout out to my youngest boy, Dane. Oh. He made a drum kit for the winter, what do you call it? Percussion group or whatever. Yeah.
Nice. He
with
made
high
it?
School. Yeah. He had to audition and he got.
Oh, he had to audition.
An invite. Yeah.
When you say he made it, I was like, oh, he had a tryout. Okay.
Yep. He had a tryout. And
very cool.
He was gunning for the drum kit and. He got it.
Got it. Nice. Nice. Well, I know he's got his drums here, and he.
Mm-hmm.
That's. I thought, well, I mean, I guess, yeah, I guess you have to try. I'm used to the sports, but I'm like, you know, our kids aren't into music, right? Like, as far as playing in a band or anything. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Congratulations.
Well, congratulations
to Dan. Awesome.
Yeah, he's on cloud nine.
He's a rock star already. I can tell. I can tell. He's a good kid.
What's wrong with 10?
Such a good kid.
Stopped at 9.
Yeah. No. That is a great shout out.
Has to be 9.
Has to be 9. I know. Yeah. That's the old saying, right?
That's cool. And if he was here, I'd tell him congratulations. Awesome. Good job, Dane. And that, yeah, man, drums. I love drums. You said no shout outs, Sean.
Do you have one?
No, I don't. I don't. No shout out.
So I was the anchor man, huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
You're Ron Burgundy.
Saved us.
There you go.
You're kind of a big deal. Yeah, I have no shout outs. No, you know what? I'm going to give a shout out.
Change mine.
They don't listen. They won't. But
is this your children?
No. I got a funny story about
it.
That's pretty good, Sean. Shout out to my mother-in-law for hosting Thanksgiving and having everybody over, and the food was so good, so delightful. Had my mom with me and or with us, and then it was in a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. We, you know, played ball with the kids and wiffle ball and. Everybody was just in a great mood, and it was very enjoyable, very enjoyable. So shout out to Debbie for, man, I was like, who made this, Debbie? Oh, well, who made this, Debbie? I'm like, did anybody bring it?
Nobody.
I mean, I know we brought a couple things, but yeah, she
I brought some bagged salad.
I mean, I brought myself, but no, yeah. So anyway, shout out to just
it's your food Super Bowl, like we said before.
Yeah, so. Shout out to Amy's family, and it was really fun. It was a really good day. So that was.
But they'll never hear this. Shout out.
They'll never listen.
They'll never. That's all right. We're not going to give them a hard time.
No.
But on air.
But you know, so you know J.P. Bean.
Yeah.
Okay. Colin's dad, you know, Olivia hangs out with him. Mm-hmm. And she came, I don't know when it was, just a few days ago. She goes, hey, J.P. was like, because she went over to their house to hang out. And they go, hey, J.P. goes, hey, Olivia, did you listen to the latest episode? It was on the White House. And she goes, no. I haven't, you know. And I'm like, you just tell me you don't listen at all. And so she's like, I didn't say that. But yeah, I'm like, you
just okay. Save some time, right?
Yeah. So anyway, he.
Well, you know what we do to.
Shout out to JP. That's my other shout out.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what we do to people that don't listen, right? We ignore them.
It's hard to ignore my daughter.
She's there all the time.
Because, number one, she's my daughter. But number two, it's hard to ignore. She's
hard.
I don't know where she gets all the talking from. I don't know where she gets that habit. I don't talk much.
You're
very
quiet, yeah. Right? Sure.
Let's see, I talked to the lady at Target and the guy at Taco Bell. Yeah. So anyway, it was funny. She's like, no, I haven't listened. And I'm like, you haven't listened to anything. shout out to JP. He loves our show. Yeah. So that's very nice. There's no special announcements either. No special.
Man, we are bringing it tonight.
I know.
Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
There's a special announcement.
That is special.
That's right.
Get out there and shop. Get your presents.
Get your shop
it's too
on.
Late.
What do we got? Today's the 29th, so you've got 25 more. Uh-huh. 25 more shopping days.
Yep.
Ooh. But this drops next week, right?
Ooh. As we're recording, 25, yeah. Mm-hmm. So when they hear this, ooh, it's going to be like 18.
It's even less.
18. The pressure's on, creepy.
TikTok babies.
Pans of frying.
Pans of frying.
Back to the pan.
Oh, no.
A pan's a hitting and a pan's a frying. Hey, you know what?
What?
Sean, tell the creepies what we're going to talk about.
Well, this is going to be my pick, which I rarely give myself credit, but here's credit where credit's due, right? This is on Hashima Island, which is also known as Ghost Island, which is also known as Battleship Island. It's got
which
lots
is
of,
also known as...
A, right? Ghost, yeah. Sean's Den Island.
Now, how do you pronounce it?
Well, I pronounce it Hashima, and I'm not sure if I'm trying to accentuate that in a Japanese accent, but Hashima... Hashima or Hashima.
Could be Hashima.
Hashima.
Or Hashima. Could be Shim.
It sounds like something that you would order with sushi. Or
yeah. I don't think,
as a
I don't know.
Type of sushi.
I've been saying Hashima.
Hashima.
Too, so.
Hashima sounds good to me.
Hashima Island.
Could be hash. It could be the hash.
I don't know.
Could be Hashima.
It's like didn't we have this conversation with Zach Galifianakis? Like, what is it? Furnakis? Fartakis?
Galifianakis.
Fartakis.
And it could be Hashima or Hashima. There's like 75 combinations.
This could take 10 minutes to figure out what we're going to call it. Let's call it Ghost Island. That's a better island, or better way to call this island anyway.
Yeah.
That island, Ghost Island, Hashima Island, is located about 15 kilometers from Nagasaki, Japan, which we've heard. Now, I don't know. Nagasaki, Nagasaki.
Nagasaki?
Nagasaki. Don't you start that. Was once the most densely populated island in the world, was abandoned, in 1974 when the mines were closed. Since then, it has been nicknamed Ghost Island due to its eerie, deserted appearance. It is said that the spirits of those who died working in the mines still haunt the island, and that is also home to them. Hashima Island is now a popular tourist spot, but is not for the faint of heart. The dead island of Hashima delivers a lively warning about the importance of foresight, offering a view of the end result of development, the fate of a community severed from Mother Earth, and engaged in a way of life disconnecting from its food supply. So it's got all kind of... And there's some dark history here. There's some real happy history here. So
there's a lot of dark history.
It's there is, but there's also happiness too. Mm-hmm. They said the energy here is, or at least at one point, was very much about joy and love and contentment. So which is kind of crazy because it's as crowded as it was.
Yeah, whatever the name of
do
it is.
Do yourself a solid and look at a picture of it too.
It's
very hard to explain.
It's very cool.
Very small. High rises, not like skyscrapers, but 6, 7, 8 story buildings. Mm-hmm. Maybe a blade of grass showing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's in a couple of trees.
They said these were some of the first high rises in Japan actually were on this island. And it was, they had to build up since it's so small, you know, and they packed people in like sardines. The wealthier obviously got, the more space, but the poor, destitute, the miners and their families were like, people had to sleep in closets and cabinets and all that kind of stuff just to make room.
I love the pictures of the place. It looks about the size of Alcatraz.
Right?
Ish. You think?
Yeah. Maybe a little bigger.
Comparable. Maybe.
Very comparable.
Mm-hmm.
They said each person had on average like a meter and a half, 2 meters max around them that was their like living space. I mean, that's
my bubble.
Right.
Get out of my bubble.
And there are videos of people when it was at its max capacity, and people are. They're just like shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
But they said that even like people that were, they were, went back and talked to some of the people that used to live on this island and as kids, and they said they didn't know. They were so, they were having fun playing stickball. How the heck did you play stickball in no more room than that? Mm-hmm. But they did. They said there was a lot of joy and a lot of happiness, and people didn't seem to mind the living conditions whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Nate said, look at the pictures. Very cool. Neat. Kind of, this is going to sound weird. I don't want to say beautiful, but like beautiful in an old, decrepit, creepy way. Like it's, I'm trying to picture it as what it would have looked like, you know, years ago. Very, yeah, but yeah, it's got.
The way it looks now is like, I don't, like, I Am Legend.
You know, I know, yeah. Yeah. Just,
like it's been deserted,
yeah,
right?
It's been deserted. The wild is starting to, you know, take it over.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's getting overgrown by, yeah, of the little bit of, you know, grass and
it looks like it's waiting. Trees. Looks like it's waiting patiently for people to return to.
I know.
It would
be so cool to just start over, I guess. But yeah, so this, the travel is the site I'm on. And it says, Hashima Island is one of the most eye-catching in all of Japan. It is not the typical island most people think of when they think about Japan. Most people will likely think of age-old Japanese temples and shrines with stunning Japanese gardens. Hashima Island stands apart from that and is, and it is a deserted island inhabited by, ooh, I love this, ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
CNN even termed it one of the 10 freakiest places around the world. Says, today there are preservation efforts to preserve the industrial history of Japan. One can decide for oneself if the island deserved to be on the list of creepiest places in the world. In Greece, there is also an abandoned monastery island where one can learn about the last monk to continue the old way of life in Fortress Monastery.
Hmm. Isn't that crazy?
But yeah.
They said that you can go here and visit, but you have to be invited or set up a, you know, like news crew or somebody that's like supposed to be there. But there are several like explorers and mm-hmm. adventurers that come here, sneak on the island, and they film, you know, their excursions here. And just, and it's on people's bucket list. I watched several videos of people and they were just like, oh my gosh, I've made it here. So this is like a big deal to them.
Mm-hmm.
It says coal was first discovered on the island around 1810, and the island was continuously inhabited from 1887 to 1974 as a seabed coal mining facility. Mitsubishi Gashi Kasha bought the island You like that? 1890. And yes, that is a Mitsubishi car company eventually, but they were into coal first and began extracting coal from undersea mines. While seawalls and land reclamation, which tripled the size of the island, were constructed, four main mine shafts reaching up to a kilometer deep were built, with one actually connecting to a neighboring island. Between 1891 and 1974, around 15.7 million tons of coal were excavated in mines with temperatures of 30 degrees Celsius and 95% humidity. They said it was just ungodly hot down there.
Wow.
I bet.
Gosh. Did you happen to say the nicknames that people gave the island?
I didn't give them all. I said Battleship and Ghost Island.
Okay. Yeah. I have a few other ones. Jail Island and Hell Island.
Hell, really?
Hell,
I
did
one of those.
Hell, I did hear. I didn't see it. I heard on one of the videos somebody said that people refer to it, that especially the people that were held captive there during World War II, which were the Koreans. They considered it Hell Island, and some of the miners too, that because of the excruciating conditions that they had to work in.
Man, Hell Island. Yeah, that's a. It's a good start.
And I believe the mine shaft that went down so far was considered the stairway to hell. I think they referred to it as that, along with it being Hell Island. So
nice. Nice.
It's so that's always hot down there.
Sure. Yeah. 1887 to 1974. I was three, and I know you guys weren't born yet. So I'll move on past that. It said it was on the dark side. It was also a site of forced labor before and during World War II. So that's a kind of the dark part of it. And it is interesting about Mitsubishi because it's like a lot of those companies did start out, you know, in something completely different.
Natural resources.
Like Lamborghini, they did farm equipment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that. And then they obviously started building supercars, luxury cars. Back on the Mitsubishi, I'm just going to read this paragraph. So if I repeated something, sorry. But in 1890, so Mitsubishi bought the island, and the island was soon caught up in Japan's fast-paced industrialization. The first concrete building appeared on the island in 1916. It was built 9 stories high and strong enough to protect against the typhoons that buffet this part of Japan. I can imagine, you know, that would just, how would you like to do that? Be on an island and you're just going to get pummeled by the weather, you know, mm-hmm. hurricanes or typhoons. Yeah. Says they were, the buildings were constructed by Chinese and Korean prisoners who were forced to work on the island from 1930 to the end of the war. And then this kind of leads into what we just talked about. The conditions were very bad and some never made it home. They nicknamed the island, you know, Jail Island or Hell Island. And then it says after the war, the Chinese and Korean laborers were replaced with Japanese workers. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting to have Korean and Chinese, mm-hmm. you know, but they were kind of slave labor.
Yeah, prisoners of war and stuff.
Yep, exactly. So.
Fishermen that sell near the island claim they see strange flickering lights in the buildings.
That's all it goes.
Even though there's no electricity on the island.
That's wild. There's reports of that in like
put
a
this
lot.
On the list, Sean.
Waverly is another one where people will see lights flicker on and off in mm-hmm. places where there's not electricity in that building. And then some of the other institutions I've watched videos or we've covered, same thing, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, now how does that work? I mean, there's not even the ability for any kind of a power shortage
right.
or some weird, you know, electrical anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that would be hard to explain.
Yeah. Make sure you put this on the list and, I'm not really doing anything next weekend. You guys want
to
go?
I would
check
love
out,
to.
love to.
Check
it's
out
my bucket list.
Hashima.
We can go visit Sorry. Both of our Japanese listeners, right?
Yeah.
They got to be living together somewhere out there.
I guarantee they're not on this island.
No. Well, they should. Well, they might be. Well, maybe that's the light.
Maybe, yeah.
Nate's like,
yeah. It's our listeners of Mikko. Yeah, it's a cool place. I would love to go there. Just think, looking at all the buildings, like, oh, man, that's a lot of history, but very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an eerie, but it's still kind of a beautiful one. I don't know why.
It is.
I've never said that about
a
rundown, abandoned place, but it's something different about it.
Well, it is. It's funny because, like, it's one of those that, especially if you're not there or you're not supposed to be there and you're walking around or messing around or climbing, I mean, there's a lot of safety hazards there. So you would not want to get hurt or caught or whatever. If
yeah, like the railings of balconies are no longer there and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
So you're exposed for sure. Yeah. It's interesting how much stuff they had on this island too, besides the mining, you know, but to keep the population going and the children and everything, it said over the next 55 years from what you were talking about building in 1916, it said more buildings were constructed, including apartment blocks, a school, kindergarten, hospital, town hall, a community center for entertainment. There was a clubhouse, cinema, communal bath, swimming pool, rooftop gardens, shops, and a, pachinko parlor. Were built for the miners and their families.
Oh.
I've never heard of that. Oh, it's a gambling type thing. A mechanical. It's some kind of a mechanical game that pachinko.
Oh, okay.
It's gotcha. It's a mechanical / arcade game, and it's used for gambling. So, slot machine as we would call it.
Interesting. Yeah, it says the island is definitely haunted, and this site called it or said it's. Worth checking out, but if you have a condition like, you know, heart condition or you know, it's not for the faint of heart is what they said. So it said just be warned if you like spooky places, just and I would imagine, yeah, be warned because of the physical dangers, not just the ghosts, you know. But this would be a place that even if there's not one thing paranormal that happens, what a cool place to check out. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's so neat. It's really, yeah.
Did either of you mention how many they estimated died on the island?
I didn't.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
1,000 workers.
1,000? Holy crap.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. I mean... One or, you know, 1,000 too many, but man, 1,000. I would have never guessed that.
That would explain a lot of the hauntings probably, right?
Yep. And how they were treated.
That's right.
Yeah, with all the slave labor.
They tried to make this place a part of the World Heritage Site. And in 2009, they had requested that it be made one of these sites. And the South Korean government basically had boycotted that until about 2015, saying, you know, with all the mistreatment of Koreans during World War II and the slave labor and everything, that they had boycotted that. But eventually, yeah, that was overturned or they retracted it. But it was basically, it was something that they wanted to make sure that the good and bad history were highlighted before it was taken in as that kind of a site. So I think that's good, though, that, you know, the Japanese government and people said, hey, you know, this history is filled with the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it had it. So, but like I said, it had, you know, had a beautiful parts of it as well. But have you guys ever seen Skyfall, the movie? James Bond?
No.
Is it James Bond?
It was filmed there, though, right?
It's one of the locations here, which is really cool. And honestly, I hadn't even thought about it because I remember that from Skyfall. But when I saw it in one of the videos that's one of the links to it is from Skyfall. And it was interesting how they were looking for just the right place to film that, you know, that part of it. It's the bad guy's lair, basically.
Oh, okay. It'd be a good spot for it.
Oh, perfect, right? And they said that Daniel Craig had been introduced to it in another movie. And so he had taken notes and he knew like all the bits and pieces. And he was like, hey, I got this island that we should consider.
Okay.
So that's how it kind of in movie history / lore. That's how it came about. And that's what most people would know it as if they saw it. They're like, oh, I know that, you know, but
yeah,
not everybody would. I didn't think about it until, like I said, I started looking into this. I'm like, I've seen this island before. And that's where I'd seen it.
Well, you know, we've talked about all these different hospitals and prisons and asylums. And I think it's neat that some movies use those places, you know?
Yeah.
For on location, yeah.
I found how big the island is.
I saw it, but I did not really pay attention.
16 acres.
Okay. So that's just... I can't... I mean, I can kind of picture an acre, but...
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah. Well, like, my property is half an acre.
Yeah. That's about... Yeah. Still hard to pick. No, but like with just because of the stuff, it makes 16 acres. I think it's small, but it's it is an island. But yeah, it's comparable. It looks like it's a little longer than Alcatraz, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, Alcatraz is more.
It looks like a battleship. That's why they call it battleship.
Yeah, right. It does. Yeah,
so
yeah.
In the shape of that. Yeah.
Exactly. They said people have reported strange noises. They have cold spots, and then people have said that they have a sensation of being watched, and there are some claims of people that have been touched by unseen hands. That's creepy.
That's what some of the guys...
I don't doubt it.
There was a couple guys that snuck on, and that's the first thing they said was they felt like they needed to find cover because they felt like they were being watched, and it was one of those things. It's very... Everything's so tall and looming and abandoned that it feels like you're being watched by something... menacing out there. So
I have no doubt there's something going on here just with all the stuff that, or the bad part of the history.
I didn't know this. Have you ever watched the show Life After People?
Nope.
Apparently it was used here. In 2009, the island was featured in History Channel's Life After People first season episode, The Bodies Left Behind, as an example of the decay of concrete buildings after only 35 years of abandonment. The island was again featured in 2011 in the episode 6 of a 3D production for 3Net, Forgotten Planet, discussing the island's current state, history, and unauthorized photo shoots by urban explorers, which happens quite frequently. I wonder what what your penalty is if you get caught. Probably nothing good. Probably some time in the mine, right?
Right.
The Japanese Cultural Institute in Mexico used the images of Korpart, Mueller, and Smith in the photography exhibition Phantasma de, I'm not going to say this right, Gunkanjima, as part of the celebration surrounding 200 years of diplomacy between Mexico and Japan. Who knew that that was a thing?
No, really.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there, it's been a lot in Skyfall, like I was talking about, and there is actually a Thai horror film, Hashima Project, that was filmed there. So that kind of goes hand in hand.
Right. Yeah. I'm looking at this picture, and it's looking up from the ground, and it's got that. It says this picture says Makiko. It says inspired by her friend's stories. Makiko captured the island from the perspective of a child using low angles to look up at the skyline of decaying towers. And it's just, it's hard to explain. It's just very cool. It's old, decrepit, run down, abandoned, but it's very neat. Very, I love it. I don't know. They also do, you can take tours actually on the island, but they also do virtual. Like, I mean, they'll show you you can take tours of it on your computer or whatever you're using to around the island. So I think that's kind of neat, you know, because I'm going to throw this out there. I'm going to say we have a 0.00001% chance that we're going to ever be there. So maybe our Mako tour will be online.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sure they got that too, right?
Yeah, they do. Like I said, they do online tours. Mm-hmm. And I just wish I could go to a lot of these places. You know, I like to go to Japan, period.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the different architectural buildings in the history, but this is one place definitely check out.
Said even check it out on Google. Google Maps has really good pictures of it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that I hadn't even thought of that.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah,
the population is zero.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for the occasional.
But when it comes to the ghost at the island, it has hundreds after more than 1,000 inhabitants passed away there.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Yeah. I see what you're. I'm sorry that we're pausing. I get caught up in looking at the buildings or the pictures. Yeah. So we apologize.
Yeah, because I'm looking at one now. They're on a balcony. There's no railing. They just have like yellow caution tape, and they're standing right on the edge of it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, in my line of work, an OSHA violation.
Right. You'd be, yeah.
Got all kind of videos chock full of that stuff, right? That we send each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did send that too. I sent a really good one that is horrifying, some of the footage that they have. It was a guy knocking over a silo, and like he's beaten on the bottom of it, and it just collapses, and it almost squishes him. And then, but it's made into a funny video, and then several other things, you know. It's just, it's that same guy I've sent you guys as funny reactions. But I sent it to her, and she's like, those people are lucky to be alive. I mean, basically, and that, especially that guy with the silo. And I was like, it's funny to watch that guy's reactions, but it's terrifying, some of the things that people do, and talk about like OSHA regulations and the lack thereof. But I knew that it would make her skin crawl to watch that stuff, because like, oh, people.
So yeah, in the Second World War, Chinese prisoners of war were brought to the island among the Korean immigrants, exploited by the system. Made to work under harsh conditions, many starved or died of exhaustion.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I can imagine.
So that's the cause of many of the deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Just worked them to death.
Right. Body can only take so much. Yeah, they said that for the tours, so like the boat ride there, they said it's very creepy as you're approaching. But it says once ashore, it is less spooky than on approach. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I would definitely, I think, as
you're in anticipation.
Yeah. Like, okay, this is going to be such a cool place. You're going to, you know, the history and all that. But yeah. What else is, you know, going on there? I disagree with this place without being there. I think it'd be just as spooky being on there. And it says there is a marked cement path with metal guardrails that a guide leads you along for about an hour, which doesn't allow for any, I love this word, meandering, on your own. But the guide knows his stuff. And if you listen, you get a thorough backgrounding in Gunkan Jima's rich history. That's the other name for it.
Glad you said that.
That's right. I was trying to clear my throat. Gunkan Jima. Yeah, so that I don't know if it's, to me, less spooky being on the island.
I know.
I don't know why they would say, oh, yeah, well, it's just much spookier as you're approaching. No,
it's very approachable. No, it's
I think the more you walk around. Yeah.
It does seem so frozen in time. There, like, people have left their, you know, so many different items there, and it's just, it is kind of like they just up and left, and they left a lot of their stuff. This is interesting. It says, one among 505 uninhabited islands in the Nagasaki Prefecture, Hashima lies in the East China Sea, some 15 kilometers from Nagasaki, like we said. Its naked crags striking a stark contrast with the verdant peaks of nearby islands. A closer look reveals clusters of unpopulated high-rise buildings pressing up against a man-made seawall, a battered shrine at the top of a steep rock cliff, and not a single tree in sight. The clue to the island's mystery lies in the coal mining. Reached by long descending tunnels, coal beds below the bottom of the ocean near Hashima disgorged huge quantities of high-grade coal for almost a century. But in 1974, the inhabitants abandoned the island to the wind and salt spray, leaving behind only unneeded belongings and a few stray cats that could not be captured.
Mm.
So those ghosts are still out there too, probably.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, yeah.
We know there's cat ghosts out there. We know there's dog ghosts.
Yeah.
It's probably like goldfish ghosts. Who knows?
Right. Right. Yeah. My phone just locked up. I had a really good little paragraph to read you about the paranormal, and it just won't let me get there. So if you guys have something while I'm fixing my phone.
Right here.
Wow, it's really messed up.
You get a lot of the same information on a lot of these different sites, you know, Battleship Island, all that fun stuff. The peak population was 5,259.
Mm-hmm.
At its highest in 1959.
I got
quickly
a
quickly scanning this because it says paranormal activity of the island, but I haven't read anything about paranormal activity in this huge article.
Yeah. Well,
I got a funny story.
What you got?
It says an energy chronicle or a chronology, excuse me. The history of Hashima Island reads like a chronology of changes in Japan's energy policies from the Meiji period to modern times. For centuries, the people living in Takashima, a large island near Hashima, are said to have collected coal from exposed beds and used it as a household fuel. They called it Gohisha, after the man by the name who, according to local legend, stumbled on coal's combustible properties by inadvertently lighting a bonfire on the Black Rock. Oops.
Ooh.
You know? So yeah. It's like, hey, yeah. He started a whole industry, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Legends are awesome.
Yeah, here's a little bit. It says, the forgotten island of Hashima off the coast of Nagasaki looms dark and dreary. Okay, so it says, it is a ghostly place where no one has walked in years, and the shadows of the past linger ominously. It says, locals believe that the island is cursed, and they tell of strange paranormal events that occur on its shores. It is said that pale ghosts haunt Hashima in the night, the spirits of villagers who once called the island home. Men lost at sea, returned to the shore, drawn there by a force they cannot resist. Others tell tales of miraculous healings and miraculous occurrences taking place on the island. For those brave enough to visit the island, the dark secrets of Hashima slowly come to light. Ancient fortresses and stand like sentinels held in a dormant state, yet still holding secrets untold. And then also says, excuse me, oh, lost my spot. Man, my phone is really acting up. I apologize, creepies.
It's not used to being in the old space.
Jeez. Yeah. Gosh. Oh, okay, here it is. So then it says, the island is now a tourist attraction, okay, as we know, and offers a wide range of activities such as sightseeing tours, adventure sports, and historical exploration. Aside from the general sightseeing tours, visitors can take part in physical activities like climbing, swimming, and exploring the various ruins around the island. Swimming, huh?
I think I'd be careful with that swimming part.
Sure about that.
Watch out for the typhoons.
Visiting the ship graveyard or checking out the various sites of historic significance is another audience favorite. The varied and complex wildlife of Hashima Island is also an attraction for tourists, as they can witness various seabirds, fish, and the occasional sea turtle in their natural habitats. There are many mysterious places in the world, but this place stands out as one of the best mysterious places.
Not wild.
Mm-hmm.
I found out swimming, something very interesting that I did not, you know, with the coal industry, obviously it became, you know, an energy fuel source. It was used in locomotives. It was used, you know, with, you know, the production of eventually what evolved into gas and everything. So it was a huge energy source, right, for a long time. And but this is where it started, at least with the Japanese culture. I think this is pretty funny and pretty cute. When transportation networks improved in the 18th and 19th centuries, the people of Takashima began to sell their coal abroad, primarily to salt makers on the coast of Seto Inland Sea. One of Japan's most important industries at the time, salt making, had relied traditionally on resin-rich pine wood as a fuel to boil seawater, but it was suffering from the ongoing depletion in pine forests. Coal was deemed the ideal alternative to pine wood. Isn't that wild, though? So that's where they originally started to bring coal into the mainstream. I think that's interesting.
It is interesting.
To get salt.
This is saying that anybody visiting the island would find many relics of the past. An x-ray machine still sitting in a doctor's office.
Oh, that's cool.
Poised to take images of a patient's body. Children's toys can be found in empty apartments.
Mm. Oh.
And old TVs and ovens still waiting to be used.
So I wonder, the toy, that's cool. If you're going to go on a tour I wish we could do an investigation. I wonder if, I didn't see any of that. Did you guys see it, if they allow any investigations?
I read somewhere where nobody's allowed out there at dark.
Yeah, I saw that you cannot spend
The night or whatever.
Yeah, you can't spend, right. You can't stay overnight. But I was just wondering, like, if you're like, yeah, we want a tour, but we also want to actually do an investigation. I wonder if they would allow that. I don't know.
I haven't seen anything that.
Sometimes with that culture, they don't really like
it. And I think that's why we're not getting a whole lot of information as far as hauntings, because I don't know if they allow.
Yeah, there's no like stories, but this is still a good topic because I knew going in it wasn't like, oh man, one ghost story after another, but there's enough there, but it's just the history in the dark, like what it was and what it is now. Yeah. And then you got it a little bit, but yeah, you're right.
Be interesting to let a paranormal group go in there.
I know.
We'll do a follow up. Then,
there's no like, hey, we heard EVP or we did EVPs, mm-hmm. or there's this and that. Yeah, other than, I just wish they would.
So a 1,000 deaths.
Gosh, you got to think something.
There has to be. A lot of energy there.
There is a firsthand account of, because they do talk a lot about the different hauntings from the deaths that occurred there. But there is, this is from a 1983 interview. It says, Su Jung-woo was one of the Korean laborers fortunate enough to survive the ordeal that he was when he was there as a child. I was one of two boys forced onto a truck in my village and taken to the government office where several thousands of other Koreans ranging in age from about 14 to 20 had been gathered. After a night at an inn, we were taken by truck to a nearby city, then by train to the port of Busan, and ship from Busan to Shimonoseki. I tried to take that slow. About 300 members of the group, including myself, were then taken by train to Nagasaki, where we arrived the following morning. All of us were being sent to Hiroshima. I had relatives in Japan, not only my parents in Nagoya, but also many family members living in Sasebo. Excuse me. I thought no matter where I was sent in Japan, I would be able to escape and find shelter with them. But as soon as I saw Hiroshima, I lost all hope. The island was surrounded by high concrete walls, and there was an ocean, nothing but ocean all around. It was crowded with concrete buildings as high as 9 stories. We Koreans were lodged in buildings on the edge of the island. 7 or 8 of us were put together in a tiny room, giving each person no more than a few feet of space. The buildings were made of reinforced concrete and had mortar on the outside, but the interior was filthy and falling apart. We were given uniforms like rice bags to wear and forced to begin work the morning after arrival. We were constantly watched and ordered around by Japanese guards, some of whom were wearing swords. The mine was deep, and this is the best part, the mine was deep under the sea, the workers reaching, or the worst, best worst part, the mine was deep under the sea, the workers reaching it by elevator down a long, narrow shaft. The coal, this is why it was the stairway to heaven, or hell, right? Down a long, narrow shaft. The coal was carried out from a spacious underground chamber, but the digging places were so small that we had to crouch down to work. It was excruciating, exhausting labor. Gas collected in the tunnels, and the rock ceilings and walls threatened to collapse at any minute. I was convinced that I would never leave the island again. 4 or 5 workers, in fact, died every month in accidents. Modern concepts of safety were non-existent. The corpses were cremated on Nakoshima, the little island besides Hiroshima. So, and then it talks about how that just collection of energy is still there. But it's interesting to hear the firsthand accounts of what it felt like. Because other people accounted for being children there, but they were not there for slave labor.
Right.
They were there with their families, and some I'm sure still worked in certain capacities there. But it was a lot more enjoyable to them, or they didn't realize, you know, how bad
really
the conditions
what was going
were.
On. Mm-hmm.
But that's a darker side, obviously.
People left the island so quickly that many left the majority of their possessions behind. The blackboards in the classroom still contain the writing from lessons long past.
Oh, wow.
And houses still contain much of their furniture. In some instances, plates, cups, and cutlery still lay on the tables. Bicycles are left to rust in the streets, and children's toys gather dust in rooms and corridors. Posters still manage to cling to the walls that crumble with a touch. And books sadly flap open and close in the dust-choked breezes that blow gently amongst the catastrophic alleys between buildings.
Oh, man. That's wild.
So, yeah, it's like
cool and sad or eerie.
Sort of how I'd imagine like Chernobyl would be, that kind of stuff.
Gosh,
you know, people just leaving so fast and quick. They just left everything. And I'm sure with the island and having to ride a boat back to mainland and all that kind of stuff, they had no room to bring anything.
Oh,
so
right.
They just left it.
Yeah, pretty much what they had on.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. This says a couple good paragraphs. It says, so now we know you can explore this place. It says, there are still a few famous spots on the island we already talked about, such as The Stairway to Hell, and Block 65, that are out of bounds to tourists for reasons known to none. It says maybe their dangerous names have got something to do with it, you think? It says, eerily enough, there have been times when people have witnessed unusual activities, and even the tourist guides swear by something spooky happening on the Hashima Island, though the historians say that there are no paranormal activities taking place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how do they know?
Bums, I call them.
Yeah, it's bums.
That's interesting they would say that, though. It's like, yeah, there's always somebody that's not into it, so I get it.
They said that fresh water had to be carried to the island until pipes along the sea floor connected to the mainland reservoirs in 1957, and they also had to bring in fresh food and all those kind of things until they started bringing mainland soil, and they started doing those rooftop gardens, and that actually became the first type of leisure there. Besides some of the little sporting things that they did, they also did, you know, they had a church and a school and all those kind of things. And so they did, you know, their holidays. And I saw little videos of them like doing those celebrations and traditional things. And so they still made life livable there, and very much, like I said, it was a community.
Own town.
Yeah. So it's pretty wild. You know, life can thrive anywhere. And then it's funny because it's thriving, or as much as it was able to thrive, you take it away quickly and people just desert it. It's interesting just in the short period of time, how much, and I know that we've already talked about that, but how much life starts to reconsume the island, you know, and vegetation and things crumble. And
it's been 49 years since the last person was
not
on
that
it.
Long.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, I wish they'd just do something with it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're using it for the tours and the history and what happened, but I'm like, oh man, I'd love to see it revitalized and live
a resort
or something. Yeah, you know. But then again, it's like, no, leave it like it is because it's cool as it is now. I don't know. Either way, it's a win-win.
I think it's so far gone as far as deterioration that, I mean, to do anything, you'd have to knock everything down.
Yeah,
and start new.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Level. But then it's like, you'd hate to.
But you're taking away the history.
I know.
Yeah.
And this says that. Do you know how much coal was produced from there? Did you mention that stat? I didn't hear it, but
I thought one of you guys.
You did.
Said
I say it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They said during the 84-year career, there was 16.5 million tons of coal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, if we said it, that's an obscene amount of coal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of coal. Mm-hmm. This describes it very interesting and very, there's kind of a surreal description here. Now, desolate and forgotten, Hashima guards the entrance to Nagasaki Harbor like a strange dead lighthouse, attracting little more attention than the visits of the tired seagulls and the curious stares of people on passing ships. But the symbolism is hard to ignore. A tight-knit Hashima community was a miniature version of Japanese society, as we've been talking about, as it straddled a landmass that, except for the lack of water and greenery, mimicked the entire archipelago. Am I saying that? I don't know. That might be a new word. But anyway, so.
What is it?
Archipelago? Archipelago?
Archibunker?
Archibunker. Am I saying that wrong?
I know the word.
It's like a larger culture, I imagine, is what that means. But
yeah. Art Deco?
Art Deco is exactly what I meant. The island's present forlorn state is a lesson to contemporary Japan about what happens to a country that exhausts its own resources and depends solely on foreign trade. Taking note, the Japanese government has used photographs of Hashima in full-page national newspaper advertisements calling for conservation of energy. So I'm totally looking up Archipelago.
I got it. Armadillo. Oh.
Archie Bunker. What does he have to do with
it? You don't got it.
What's he have to do with it? I just drew a blank. Anyway, what are you looking up, Sean?
How do you draw a blank?
Oh, I know what I was going to say.
How do you draw that? Oh, this makes sense.
What would that look like?
Well,
if you drew a blank. And okay, so I feel really silly because
how do you shoot a blank?
Have you guys ever heard of this before? somebody out there is going to know what this is. Why? But an archipelago. I see.
An acapella?
You're archipelago.
Archipelago, sometimes called an island group or island chain, is a chain, cluster, or collection of islands, or sometimes a sea containing a small number of scattered islands.
Why can't
it's archipelago? It's like archipelago. It's something like that.
But it's not something I've used. Maybe.
Why can't you just say cluster of islands?
Ever. I know Greece has
I think it's archipelago.
Okay.
That's
there you go.
That's what it, yeah.
But
archipelago. I'm just
I feel like I should
cluster
know
of islands. Because
I've heard that word, and it's
but not
it's
very
always
common,
on
yeah.
Like or
we learn
waterways,
we learn something new or relearn
archipelago
something.
Is the name. That's how you say it.
I refuse to learn that.
No, you're going to learn it.
It's a cluster of islands.
Say it with me. Archipelago. Yeah, it's archipelago.
Archipelago.
Because I'm like, when you said, I'm like, wait, I know that
word. Let's make a song up. We'll never forget.
So say it with me. Archipelago.
He's an archery fellow.
Says, island chain redirects here. So, shoo. Okay.
Nate, just because you're being difficult, you're not gonna, I'm knocking you down a notch of zero. One less zero for you. Archipelago.
I can afford it.
Yeah. I always thought that was a fun word as a kid. Archipelago. Say it with me. Archipelago.
But yet we bring it up. Yeah. Never.
Anyway. No.
Somebody out there has.
Do we know how far or how long it takes to get from Nagasaki to this place?
30 minutes.
Because I know when we took the ferry boat from Michigan City to Mackinac City to Mackinac Island, it was like 20 minutes, mm-hmm. 25 minutes. So I was wondering if it was comparable. So it is. It's 30? Is that
yeah.
what you?
Yeah, I thought I read.
Okay.
Earlier.
Cool.
30 minute.
30 minute.
All right. Well, what does it take to get from here to there?
And it says
35.
Be prepared. Bring sunscreen. They do have hats that they can hand out.
Nice.
But like bring sun hats because there's no shade on the boat ride over.
Good to know.
Yeah.
That is good to know. Don't.
You might have saved somebody from getting a sunburn.
That's right.
They're going to go.
Skin cancer.
Yeah, they're going to go, you know what? Nate from Mako said to make sure you wear sunscreen.
I'm going
and wear
to
a sunscreen.
Totally do
yeah.
that.
And then, yeah, that's what you get here at the Mako podcast.
You know, I mean, the tour was a 9, but it could be a 10 if you follow my instructions.
Thank you, Nate.
Yeah.
Nate the Great.
Helpful hints from
King
Nate.
Laux.
That's what I'm here for.
Is that what you're here for? anything else you guys want to talk about Hashima?
I don't think so.
Almost said Hakashima.
Hakashimo.
That was fun. That was good.
Yes.
That was a different topic. And
I'll leave it up to me.
And I'll say, like Nate said, look at the pictures.
That's so, right. Oh, yeah.
And
totally
read about it yourself. Because we're done. Just read about yourself.
We're so done here.
We're done. I'm like so over it. Okay.
You're going to love my moment.
That? Huh?
You're going to love my moment or dark side.
Well, I haven't officially said
I'm having a moment.
Senior moment?
I'm going to have a moment.
Middle-aged moment?
Sean.
Yes.
What do you have for, I'm going to say the middle-aged moment.
You're right.
Okay.
You're correct. I wanted to have a little fun tonight. I thought it would be fun. We have mentioned this song before.
I'm going
to
open my
Open your cocaine. this is by Styx. Do you have any guesses, Nate?
Styx?
Yes.
Come Sail Away?
Come Sail, yeah.
No! Oh. I've already done that.
Oh, you did? That's right.
I think I've done that one.
Yeah, you did. That's, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Mr. Roboto.
Mr. Roboto.
It's Mr. Roboto. Yes. Yes, you are correct, sirs.
Gosh.
How much could I screw this up? You guys have to do some of this with
anyway,
me.
Anyway, Nate, take us out. How you?
Do you want to do it, Nate? Nate's done this a little bit, right? Domo arigato, misto roboto, mata uhi made, domo. Okay, I'm not going to, it's horrible. You're wondering who I am, machine or mannequin with parts made in Japan. I am the modern man. I've got a secret.
He's got a secret.
I've been hiding under my skin. My heart is human. My blood is boiling. My brain IBM. So if you see me acting strangely, don't be surprised. I'm just a man who needed someone and somewhere to hide. To keep me alive, just keep me alive. Somewhere to hide, to keep me alive. I'm not a robot without emotions. I'm not what you see. I've come to help you with your problems so we can be free. I'm not a hero. I'm not a savior. Forget what you know. I'm just a man whose circumstances went beyond his control. Beyond my control. We all need control. I need control. We all need control. I am the modern man who hides behind a mask. Man, it's hard not to sing this. Okay, so I'm not going to go with Domo Rogato, Mr. Roboto, Domo. 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 Thank you very much, Mr. Roboto, for doing the jobs nobody wants to do. And thank you very much, Mr. Roboto, for helping me escape to where I needed to. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank you, please. Thank you. Oh, yeah. All right. So the time has come at last to throw away his mask. Sorry, this mask. Now everyone can see my true identity. I'm Kilroy, 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 Kilroy. I've got a secret.
Is he done?
No, I'm just doing I thought it'd be fun.
That is fun. That
is fun.
You know what? If it's anything, it's fun.
It's a fun song, but it does paint a story.
It does. I know. There's a deeper meaning. So you want me to call it a dark side too?
We'll call it a middle-aged shade.
Shade. It's kind of in between.
Yeah. It's
a cloudy day.
Gray. Middle-aged gray.
It mixes well. But I thought it would be a little bit of fun after that kind of a discussion.
I think that was like 1982, I think. 82 or 83. I believe I was in fifth or sixth grade. When was that?
1983.
Man, I'm good.
That's right.
Album. Yeah, that is.
Kilroy was here.
I always like the video, too.
Kilroy was here.
Yep. Well, good job. Thank you, Sean. That was a very, taking us back to the glory days of the 80s.
Sticks, baby. Yeah.
I like Sticks. I do like that. Thank you. And what's up for the second announcements?
I have the second part of the announcements. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. You can email us at makopodcasts@gmail.com. That's two A's. We are on all podcast listening apps, so make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned, and or your business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information.
Oh, yeah, you did. You brought it on that one.
Watch
first
out.
First announcements.
I got the energy build up.
Yeah, I could tell.
He's in his groove.
Oh, by the way, I'm thinking about doing tutorials, like videos to show people how they can, you know, bring up the Mako podcast on every day. You know, if you're at the restaurant, you're at the, you know, you're at the gym, you're at the work, you know, because that's pretty much what I do.
We need to study, don't we?
So we're at our church, right? Traders Point. Mm-hmm. And it was called First Step. So you're kind of introduced, you know, what opportunities there are and to get involved in, you know, the small groups and all everything, you know, volunteering and serving and everything else. And then, you know, and the guy, super nice guy, Luke, he is a IMPD officer. And here's a cool thing. So I brought up, I don't know how this came about. I said, I have a podcast.
You may or may not have.
And I said, and he goes, oh, what's it about? And I was telling him, he goes, oh, you ever talk about Central State? I go, in fact, we have.
Oh, yeah.
I said, we did a mini. And then he goes, full or mini. And I said, one of my cleaning accounts. I said, I clean their old the old laundry facility.
You keep having freaky stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he names the company I go, or the business. I go, yeah. He goes, oh, I work at the horse patrol.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah.
It literally is right next to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he goes, oh, I've been in there. And yeah. And he goes, that's a cool place. I said, oh, yeah. So, and he said, anytime I want to come over, if he's over there, then he's going to show me around the horse thing. And it'd be pretty cool. But
take him over there and show him.
I said, of all the places. Yeah. He knew exactly. But anyway, I was like, Amy goes, I said, yeah, this is, or she's like, she lifts up my hand. She's like, you know, if you can't tell, you know, with my mic and headphones, and I said, yeah, and if you're wondering why my other hand says keep it creepy, I said, that's my podcast slogan or whatever. And he's like, oh, okay. I was wondering, but I'm going to do a tutorial to show people how you just, on any average, you know, interaction, you know, you're at the gym, like I said, you could be at the shoe store, Nate.
Bring it up.
And, you know, and say, man.
It's as common as a handshake.
Absolutely, you know, if you're in line at McAllister's, there's no reason you can't bring up Mako podcast.
What do you do for fun? Oh, I'm glad you asked.
What do you do for a living? I'm glad you asked. Wait, I don't do it for a living.
Lots of zeros.
But anyway, excellent. Excellent, Sean. Looking at our main man here, to my right, to your left.
Yeah,
Nate, help us out.
Well, I feel like I'm on an island by myself.
An island in the sea.
Islands in the... That's a wrap.
Sorry.
You feel like you're on an island by yourself, huh? Why would he say that, Sean?
I have no idea.
I kind of feel like that myself. Well, thank you, Nate, and as always. And thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 143 and our discussion on the eerie Hashima Island. And until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.